I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Will Johnson. He's director of the Institute for Embodiment Training, and he will be here in Santa Fe this weekend for a meditation retreat Friday through Sunday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, nice to be here, Mary Charlotte.
So you teach Buddhist meditation practice, and your center is called the Institute for Embodiment Training. A lot of people think of meditation as kind of like a mental or cognitive practice. Talk about what you mean by embodiment.
Yeah, that's true. Mostly people think of meditation as something we do with our minds, but in truth, you know, meditation always begins by assuming a particular gesture or posture with the body. Now, the work that I do or the teaching that I do is very deeply body-focused and body-oriented. That without the felt presence, the kindling, the awakening of the felt presence of the body, we can all too often find that we go off into these, mental detours. So yes, the work is about developing a quality of embodiment, a sense of felt presence, and that seems to be the vehicle through which the Dharma can reveal itself the most easily, the most cogently to us.
One of the things that drives a lot of people away from meditation is that it's incredibly painful. You sit unsupported, unless you decide to use a backrest, which sometimes they don't want you to do, whatever, but you sit on a cushion, your back unsupported for long periods of time, and it's really not a lot of fun.
No, it's not only not a lot of fun, it can become, especially if you sit in, say, 10-day Vipassana retreats or Zen sessions or Vajrayana Dhatus, it can become something of, frankly, an endurance test, a painful ordeal. Very little instruction is actually given to, how we sit. And this is, one of the major motivations that, in a sense, launched me on the work and the teaching that I do. Now, I am not specifically affiliated with any one tradition or lineage. I embrace them all. And I'm most interested in the denominator common to all the lineages and the traditions, which is the sitting posture itself. Now, what I do with sitting meditators is work, first of all, to help them find a condition of upright alignment through the torso, which then allows the body to relax completely. If you don't have that upright alignment, you can't really relax, because if you did, you'd simply fall over. Now, arguably the most radical thing that I bring to the conversation in the cushion is this understanding and awareness that if relaxation is to continue over time, you cannot sit in a frozen, still posture, but you have to allow subtle, constant, amoeba-like, resilient motions to occur throughout the entire body in response to every breath you take, so that the focus on breath that I bring to my meditation practice is an allowance of this motion. The breath can move through and move the whole body much in the same way that a wave moves through a body of water. To the degree that we can do that, we cancel out the, as you're so well pointing out, this quality of sitting that can be, very, very deeply uncomfortable. And we just go much, much deeper, into the practice and into allowing what the practice can do for us.
So when you sit for a long period of time, it doesn't hurt?
I can't honestly say that there isn't going to be, uncomfortable sensation that comes up, because that, in a sense, is what the practice is designed to do. We have so much repressed sensation, so much repressed, content in the mind, and meditation practice, when we enter into it through some of these principles that I'm sharing here, what that allows us to do is for these tensions to come up to the surface, but really resolve themselves very, very easily, because we're not sitting in a frozen way, we're not bracing ourselves against the tension in the body, against the contractions in the mind. So what appears to happen is that these sensations come up and they can get resolved and pass away, relatively easily.
One of the things that has always been kind of mysterious to me as a person who has practiced meditation off and on for many years and experienced the discomfort and pain and annoyance and all of those experiences that people have when they're doing it, and yet there's benefit from it. There's a kind of sense of increased calmness and well-being that I've found and that other people have found. But the mystery is, to me, is this. You sit for a long period of time. Your back hurts. Your knees hurt. You observe that and don't react to it. You, maybe if we're working with you, you have some techniques that involve small amounts of movement, whatever. But you're really focused on the body. And then next thing you know, your problems are less than they were before, that have nothing to do with your knees or your back. Like, what is that connection?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Ordinarily we are so literally out of touch with the feeling presence of the body. Most of us live our lives, frankly lost in thought. So this whole arena of bodily presence is alien to us and is a mystery to us. So when we do sit in the ways that you're talking about, there's this, growing awareness of bodily presence, and we start feeling the things that, frankly, we haven't been feeling. And, a lot of them, don't feel so good. We understand very quickly why we haven't wanted to feel them. But bracing ourselves against that, keeps us locked, in a sense. It keeps us, involved in those patterns, forever. And it's the kind of thing that when you shift your focus and allow the reality of your experience just to be here, just to come forward, things start resolving themselves. Now, when we sit in such a way that's very frozen, very rigid and very still, and this, honestly, is the tradition that has mostly been brought over here from Asia, yes, over a period of time, things will resolve themselves, but they do so very, very slowly. If we sit in such a way that we can be deeply, deeply relaxed, and the Tibetan teacher Tilopa always said, the whole point of meditation, do nothing with the body but relax. If we can do that and then allow these resilient motions that allow relaxation then to continue over time, what happens is that the pain in the body, the contractions in the mind, resolve themselves much more quickly. So it's kind of a situation where, look, in a stagnant river, sandstone rocks will eventually dissolve over time. But if you enter into a river where there's a current, the stream is moving freely, flowing with quite a bit of current, those sandstone rocks will melt and dissolve much, much more rapidly.
What is the role of things like actual movement practices, like dance and body work and exercise and stuff like that, in the kind of meditation embodiment practice that you're teaching?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I also bring to especially to the long retreats that I teach is this acknowledgement that, yes, sitting on the cushion is extremely important. And having said that, we're wanting to open to and embrace all these supportive practices. Deep body work is, from my perspective, vitally important for meditators to bring in to their practice. Things like spontaneous movement practices, dance practices, are, also an additional support that just simply, helps so much when we go to sit back down, on the cushion. So what I'm trying to do is to create an approach to practice that is not just about sitting on the cushion. Yes, that's our primary arena, and venue for, the practice to have its effect on us, but also to make sure that we're taking care of body. And so, yes, as you're suggesting, I often bring in a great deal of deep body work and, spontaneous movement practices into the mix. Once we experience those and go back to the cushion, it makes our attempts to, embody this posture that's aligned, relaxed, resilient, it makes it much, much easier. And it just simply, allows the practice to, progress much more swiftly and allows us to go much, more deeply.
How did you become involved in these practices and then become a teacher?
Yeah, interesting question, because I've not affiliated myself with any, particular lineage or tradition. I'm open to all of them, and I embrace all of them. In my case, look, I'm not a body guy by birth, by any means. In my early 20s, which now is quite a long time ago, this would be the early 1970s, I met and studied with Ida Rolfe. In the early days of Rolfing, her approach to the practice was much more as spiritual practice than as the kind of glorified form of physiotherapy that it's become. She saw that this bringing of the body to an upright place where we can let go would allow evolutionary energies to get kindled, and that would then result in a transformation of consciousness. It was very easy, in a sense, for me to take some of those principles and apply them to the practice of sitting meditation that I, very quickly got, drawn to as well. So I've watched over the years as so many what we call spiritual practices, as we started this conversation, are all focused on what we call mental events, but that keeps us still very, very divided and very, very separate. When we can then embrace and include bodily presence, it just changes everything, and we go much, much deeper, much, much more quickly.
How do you take that into your life, not when you're sitting on a cushion, but when you're walking around and working and sitting at a desk and in the supermarket and things like that?
Well, it's the same thing, and, ultimately there isn't really a division between the time on the cushion, which is your formal practice, and the rest of your life that is informal. And, pushing a buggy through the supermarket, driving a car, walking to work, interacting with people, we can still bring these same principles of what I would call an embodied mindfulness into our life, so we can stay aware of the feeling presence of the body. We can remain aware of breath that keeps moving, billowing, very amoeba-like, whether I'm sitting on the telephone talking to you or doing, any other event. And ultimately, we realize that, this practice, it really is 24/7. There are no breaks. Every moment, every breath, we're either aware of it, we're either open to it, or we subconsciously brace ourselves against it. And then, what happens? We go off into the internal monologues of the mind and become what, the Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh refers to as just simply lost in thought.
If you are a patient who is experiencing Rolfing, basically somebody is doing body work to you and you are receiving it on some level, if you are meditating, you're the one who's doing it. What's the difference?
One of the things that's very fascinating that we find, now, for the long retreats, the 10-day retreats that I teach, I always bring in a team of Rolfers or deep body workers. Everybody in a 10-day retreat, receives 4 sessions of deep body work. The last one, we've developed a session where the person gets work done while sitting in their upright meditation posture, doing the practice. What I can share with you is that the body workers that have participated in the retreat, they all say this is the dream situation in which to do their work with people. Ordinarily, out in the world, we're massage therapists, we're Rolfers, we're chiropractors, whoever it is. People, they get to our office, they've probably had to race across town, they leave our office, they have to go pick up their kids from soccer practice or whatever. This is a very different context in which to experience that work. So that the body workers all say it's, in a sense, a dream to work on people who have been doing this very deeply body-oriented meditative practice, for hours and days, and then come into the body work session. And the people who are experiencing the body work will also comment that getting work done in that way and then being able immediately to go back into the meditation hall and sit down in meditation posture, again, entering into the practice, seems to change, everything and allows the shifts that have occurred in the body or accession to, manifest much more clearly, much more quickly, and much more deeply than if they had to get in the car and drive across, town in rush hour traffic to go home. Look, the reality is that being able to attend a meditation retreat for a weekend, as we're doing here in Santa Fe, or, a longer, 10-day retreat, such as the ones that I also retreat, it's a privilege, to be able to take that kind of time to focus on these kinds of practices.
Will Johnson is director of the Institute for Embodiment Training. He will be here in Santa Fe for a weekend retreat, which is Friday through Sunday, Friday at 7 in the evening, and then goes Saturday and Sunday till 5 in the afternoon at the Dreamcatcher Retreat Center here in Santa Fe. For more information, you can write to jrivermartin@gmail.com. You can also go to the website mindfulsomatics.org. Will, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I could add, it was very fun to do this. You asked some very, very good questions, so thank you, too.